There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 that I want to use as a practical description of our wayward ways. Listen to this. The people were busy putting God off. They were saying, I know we're in trouble, but if I can just give me one more summer, Lord. Just give me one more summer. I will work extra hours and do all the stuff I need to do. And I know I'm going to miss church this summer, but if you can just give me the summer, when I get through the end of the summer, we'll be back in the house of the Lord, okay? God, you know a man has to work, so he has to eat, okay? If he's going to eat, he's got to work. So I'm going to go out and work, and I'm going to get extra work, and I'm going to get extra jobs, and I'm going to do what I have to do, and I may have to compromise here and there, but Lord, I'm sure you understand my compromise. I'm just going to do it my way, and then when we're all said and done, we'll come back to the house. Why? This is the cry of the people. The harvest has come. The summer is over. And we are not saved. How many times have you gone through a summer thinking you're going to come out the other side and get it all together with the Lord? And I'm talking metaphorically now. God, if you just give me, just have a little patience on me, Lord. I'm going to do it my own way for just one more season. And then just let me try one more time. And your summer comes and goes and doesn't yield the promise. And you are not saved. How long? How long must God wait until we are ready to give him everything? How long must he wait until we are ready to say, Lord, you said in your word, I need to rest. My family needs me to rest. You need me to rest. You told me to focus on being together with disciples and other people and sharing your word and sharing my meals together with them. And you know what? I can't do that when I'm working, so I'm going to make sure that I don't work. And let the chips fall where they may, because I'm putting you first. How long before we say something like that? How long before we truly trust in the Lord? You want miracles in your life? Give God something to work with. You want God's miraculous intervention and provision for your life? Give him something to work with. You're saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I've been trying, but could you just add a little extra to me while you continue to disobey the Lord? You say, Father, I want your grace in my life while you continue to have an adulterous heart or run off after your pleasures or put entertainment first or sport first before God. How long? My friends, and we expect God to show up and endorse our behavior at church? Endorse this behavior of ours by saying, I'll show up and heal the people when you lay hands on them. God wants more than just the obedience of laying on the hands, which is the initial part. And that part, for those of you who are walking in the favor of the Lord and doing things right and righteously, that's the part that we need to step into, and you and I both need to step into. But the parts where you and I have been disobeying the Lord on a grander scale, why should God come up and show these things? You say, well, Eric, sounds to me like you're preaching a gospel of works again. No, I'm not preaching a gospel of works. I'm preaching about the tabernacle of God being in the midst of his people. God does not cohabit with sin. It's not about works and grace. We receive the favor of the Lord. The sinner can find favor in the presence of the Lord through one simple thing, repentance. One simple thing, repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is a heart that says, God, I am sorry for what I did. Please help me and give me the strength and the courage to turn around and not do this again. You are not cut off forever. Your sin does not cut you off forever. It cuts you off now. Absolutely cuts you off right now. So get on your knees and repent before the Lord. You say, well, what is my sin? Perhaps your sin is that you are not giving to the Lord of your time, of your energy. Perhaps your sin, my sin, is that we are not honoring the Lord with our tongue. We are speaking words of unkindness to one another. We are reaching out and taking things that do not belong to us. We are selfish and self-centered and greedy. And if you read through the New Testament, you will see time and time again, the Apostle Paul talks about it, the Apostle Peter talks about it, the Apostle James talks about adjusting our lifestyle so that we can accommodate the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle of God. Not in a temple somewhere, because you can build a facade and you can establish a system of worship that looks like something's happening there, but it's not. But there's no way you can fool God in your home life. God knows what your home life looks like. Should we honor God with our homes? Should we honor God with our eyes? Should we honor God with our tongues? Is your heart pricked? Do you grieve with me also for the superficial healing that we have dispensed? It's no wonder our children don't want to follow the Lord. We have dispensed superficialities. Come, let's go deep. Let us allow the Lord to lay open those parts of our heart. Let us abandon all of our inhibitions and anxieties and fears, and let us give ourselves under the authority of God and say, God, heal me, for I am broken. The mechanism of faith is obedience. This morning, I call you to obedience. We're going to do a few things now. We're going to open up the altar. I'm going to play a song. And I'm going to invite you to come and be obedient before the Lord. I'm going to invite you to go beyond the superficial. I'm going to invite you to say, God, I'm sorry for trusting in my own strength. I don't want the summer to pass and find out I'm not saved. I haven't been saved. My works of my hands cannot save me. Only you can save me, Lord. I want to offer you the opportunity to repent before the Lord. It's a somber moment. It's a solemn moment. So respect that and come before the presence of the Lord and let Him begin to heal these parts of our hearts. For some, it looks deeper than others. Every one of us has a place where we have not drawn closer to the Lord, and we have not allowed Him in. Today, let's open that part and give it to Him. And then afterwards, I'm going to pray for you to be healed. And the elders and the deacons of the church and the leaders of the church, we talked about this last night and we got all excited. I know God's going to bring some healing today. There's some sick people here who are going to get healed. Because we're going to start honoring the Lord. We're going to give Him something to work with. And so at the end of this little time of repentance before God, I'm going to invite you, those of you who want to be prayed for healing, to stand here. And we're going to take anointing oil and we're going to pray over you. So I'm going to go stand behind the keyboard and you just pray and spend some time in reflection.
Father in heaven, I just thank you that you've provided a door back into the kingdom of heaven, back into a right relationship with you. But Father, I know that door has had a huge price. Lord, and the cost to us is repentance. The qualification for us to enter that door is to repent first. And in so repenting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the cloak of your righteousness placed over us. We know you want our hearts, Lord. Help us to come today to give more of our heart, to give all of our heart. There are places in our lives, Lord, that you've been hinting and suggesting and showing us that we need to repent of. All of us. And we've not listened. We've neglected your still small voice to lead us away from those things. We say we have the summer yet. We don't have to do that now. But Lord, we come willingly to respond to your voice. We come to the mercy seat with a heart of repentance. Thankfulness that you've made a way for us. Who else can fill our hearts with love? Who else has the answers to life? Who else has shalom peace? Lord, I pray for us as a body here in this house. And I ask that you would just stir the hearts of each and every one of us. That we would be compelled by your Holy Spirit to move forward, to step by faith into the calling you have for each of us. That our repentance would be met with your gracious mercy and power to rise up above the things that hold us back from intimacy with you. So the people of God, come. Come boldly to the throne of God. Find his peace.